over the past few months, just to save everyone having to ask how things are going, is in the past few years, I'm just going to retrack back just a little bit, is my beautiful daughter met a guy in Emerald about 7 years ago. They would eventually move from Emerald down to a little place called Allora, just between Warwick and Toowoomba. They would eventually get married. That was a bit knocked around because COVID kicked in at the time, messed their wedding plans and things like that up. But Darren and Angie, as I mentioned, got married. A little while after that, my daughter was, she always thinks her mum's wonderful because mum blessed her, because the poor kids had about 30 moles taken out of her over time. Now, Rosie's had similar sorts of things happen. So a daughter, every time she sees, says, thanks, Mum, all right, for all the things that have been going on. But it's just one of those things. You know, some of us, if you're watching Ross here today, it's not because Sandra snotted him, okay? It's just that it had a mole taken off him, much as you'd like to, eh, Sandra, sometimes? But sometimes these physical bodies have things go wrong. We weren't created to live forever here on earth. We were created to live forever in eternity with God, all right? This little bit of time that we're given here, this time on earth, is here for one particular reason, I reckon, and that is that we will come to a knowledge of God and everlasting life. That's what, this is the opportunity. There is no other time in eternity that you get to choose to accept Jesus' gift. All right. Once we leave here, it's too late. All right. It's this period of time that we get now. But my precious daughter, a couple of years back, got a growth in her knee, and so she would go then for surgery, all the different things that follow up. But because of that, then they started to follow her with scans on a regular basis, full body scans. So then they found out that she had a lesion on a pancreas. So she would then go in, have a full operation, which took out predominantly anything that was here. Her gallbladder, part of her stomach, large intestine, duodenum, things like that. They then take the lesion off the pancreas and reconnect it back through the bile duct so that she gets the pancreatic enzymes that she needs to, you know, to assimilate food. Now, that was fine. All those things have worked well and come together well. In similar period of time, my mum had a fall, broke both her arms and ended up in hospital. So we spent a year with mum getting her medications, all the different kinds of things right. And towards the end of last year, mum had a lovely 9 months because we got a medication really well from being in hospital because she broke her arms. Okay, so there's always good things come out of things that we mightn't see as good. All right. Anyway, so we get mum right. She's having a lovely time. Then she gets a tumour on her liver, and within 9 days of the diagnosis, she passed away. At that point of time, my son-in-law, Darren, had been having a few problems in his waterworks and things like that. They told Darren that he had a growth in his bladder, that they'd have to do something about it. That was at the same time we're just lining up for mum's funeral. So we got mum's funeral organised. 2 days later, I flew off because Darren had gone in, had an operation to take his bladder out, only to find that the growth that he had in his bladder was a very aggressive cancer, and that it was probably too late already with what they'd done. And we went, okay, it is what it is. We'll work through this. So I flew to Queensland. Now, at the same time, Darren's gone through a lot of stuff that's not very pleasant. At the moment, he's in chemo, radiation, and things like that. So he's going through those processes. I came away from up there, came home, spent Christmas at home. Then just recently flew back up because Ange was going in for a further operation. They were going to, hopefully with endoscope, go down through her stomach, open up the bile duct that's closed off, stopping the pancreatic fluids coming through. Only to, she goes down to Brisbane, gets into hospital, they start the procedure and to find that the bile duct is closed off completely and they can't do it through that procedure. So they would look at another way. And he said, oh, well, it'll be 6 weeks before. And I said, okay, so I'm still hanging around up there thinking, oh, well, yeah, we'll work through the process. At the same time, Darren's still going through the week previous to me coming home. He was supposed to go in for chemo. He just wasn't well enough and he would not have that till the day after I left. So these are just some of the things that are going on. And people say to me, oh, you're going through a lot. No, I'm not going through anything, all right? Because my God, my comforter, my peace is with me. He has allowed me this period of time to be constantly in his presence. Can I tell you, that's what I want to tell you today. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, okay? It is but for a little period of time here on earth. His promise is to us that we will have eternal life with him in heaven. That's the promise. This little bit of time here on earth, King David mentions in Psalm 90 that we might have 70 years or given a little bit of extra strength, maybe 80. Okay? But it is what it is. But I wanted today just be able to impart, if I can, that this natural bit of time that we have is to strengthen us because we are going to face loss. All of us will face loss. I had the pleasure of walking down with Maureen today and Maureen asked me, she said, oh, you're going through a bit. And I said, yes, but that only makes me stronger. And Maureen, bless her, said, that's right. We face these things that our faith might be developed, that we might be built up. Because at this point of my life, Rosie, I keep saying to Rosie, we have to take that picture off in our bathroom. Where we used to have a mirror, there's now a picture of these two old people. And and I'm going, hun, we've got to get rid of that picture and we've got to get a mirror back. Where are the young people? All right? But I don't know whether any of you are like me, but you're noticing that things aren't quite the same. All right? Is that in the past couple of years, I've got a lot of friends that I don't have anymore. But you know, God has helped me with that. I have a lot of family that I don't have anymore. But my faith in God has allowed me the strength and the comfort that I need for those things to happen. You know, Jesus speaks these words. He says, look, in the world, you will have tribulation or you will have trouble. In one version, he says, but fear not. In another one, he says, but be of good cheer. All right? And that's Sandra's favourite version, isn't it? Be of good cheer. All right? Because stuff is happening around us. As I walked into church today, I was talking with Chris. Chris said to me, do you know that there's a new wave of the Holy Spirit moving in the church this year? He says it's a wave of us coming back and seeking God. And I thought, oh, look, that's my message today. Seek first. I walked into the church today. Can you put the other screen back up, the normal one you're running each week? And you'll know this one. I think it's the message I've got today. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Jesus speaks that at a point of time. He's spoken to the people and he says, look, don't worry about things. Don't worry. If you can handle it, all right, that's good. If you can't, I am your strength. I am your comfort. I am your peace. I am your redeemer. I'm your healer. Whatever it is that you need, he has. But he's actually speaking here about our earthly needs at prior to this, where he's just speaking about the normal things like clothing, about the food that we eat, about all that we need. He says, look, I've got it all covered, right? Don't worry about it. And Sandra brought a lovely message the other week about how we might hear from God. I don't know whether anyone's noticed this, but God actually reveals things to me simply by quickening the word to me. Is that I'll be going through something and I hear Jesus speak and he says, Steve, don't worry about it. I've got it. If you can look after it, you don't need me. But when it's beyond your capability, I've got this. So fear not. Be of good cheer. And these past few months for me, I've been away from my wife on a regular basis. I want to thank every person in this room that's been helping her out. All right? She comes and Streety and Kim, just you're just gracious. You just take the time to look after her. The rest of you, as you do, all right? Our pastor Julie, those that get behind her and support her. This is just the beauty of this church, because we have such a good God, all right? And as we seek him, that he will come and draw close to us. That's his promise to every one of us, that irrespective of what you're going through, I know, Gordon, in your loss right now, that you're going through a period of time in the natural that it's uncomfortable. But I also know that you've got such a blessing where God has drawn close to you. He's holding you in his arms today. And he's going to take you and just continue to be your peace and your comfort, all right? Until that time that he calls you home and you and Sylvia will be reunited again in that glorious place. How beautiful a gift that is that he has for us. Because whether we like it or not, as I said, in this world we will have tribulation. Jesus speaks that and the Holy Spirit quickens it to me. But he says, but fear not. All right? And that's only one of the beautiful things. Let's go back to the beginning. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you don't already know Jesus today, I encourage you to seek him today. But if you do know him, I'm going to encourage you to seek him today. Is that as I came in, Sue and I were speaking, and Sue mentioned that she's listening to a book. And I thought, well, that's an interesting thing. Obviously, it's an audio book, okay? But the really good thing is she was speaking about that the person who's written this book is speaking about the fact that we are constantly being bombarded with busyness, and that busyness takes us from being close to God. And I'm going to ask you today to seek his stillness. You know, in 1 Kings 19, he comes and he's seeking God, and he gets the earthquake comes. All right, the earthquake, you know, is going. Like, we've got distractions and we've got stuff going on all around us, and the earthquake comes, but God wasn't in the earthquake. The fire comes, right? But God wasn't in the fire. But the still comes, and there was God. God is in the still. And the world around us is going to keep trying to distract you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and his peace that he offers. Seek his peace, all right? Look for it on a daily basis. You know, Scripture tells us in all things to give praise. Why would that be? When the things are the toughest, why would you want to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Only because he is worthy. Irrespective of what's going on in our life, he is worthy to be praised for no other reason. Your life doesn't have to be good to praise him. All right? Your life just has to be your life. And now you can praise him because he is God. He is. Now, I'm just going to look into my other side of notes. Is that the other week... I was just, as I bring a word together, I try and just try and get a few notes down, you know, jot points, and see if I can build on that. Some of the things: fear, feeling shattered. Any of us have any of those things? Where we go, oh, I can't do anything about this. That's the best place to be. When you can't do any more, turn to God. Because if you can do it, and I was just saying with Ross earlier, we were standing at the front door, if I can fix it, we're in trouble, okay? It's the quickest thing that can happen is that when I can't look after it anymore and allow God to be God, all right? Run to God. Difficult circumstances. God says to me, I never change. I always commend my love to you. I am your peace. I fight for you. Circumstances will come, but God hasn't changed. Run to him. All right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What I'm confused about, you're not. Your love is continuous to me, irrespective of my confusion, of my misunderstandings. The good thing is, and Maureen and I were speaking about this, our trials bring our faith to another level. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. God doesn't change, all right? But it allows maybe a depth of desperation. The things that we might go through allow us a depth of desperation to come to God, to know his beauty and his majesty. God's greatest faithfulness is in our hardest times. In your trials, never turn from God. How many people do you know that been going through a bit of stuff and go, why would God let that happen? Well, that's not what Scripture says to us. It says when you're going through it, praise him in all things with praise and thanksgiving. Is that I'm going to encourage you today. Doesn't matter what comes, all right? Turn to God, not from him. If God commended my life while I was still a sinner, how much more does he love me today? How much more today? Just because you mess up a little bit doesn't mean he stops loving you. He loves you more today than ever before. He loves you so, so much, all right, that he just wants to reach out and pick you up, hold you in his arms. All right, that's his promise to every one of us today. But you know what? Some of us are going, it's all right, I've got this. I'll sort it out. And God's going, okay, no worries. Just off you go. It's, I'll be still here. I've got eternity. How long have you got? he is just that beautiful. Turn to him and believe. Worship him. Give him praise. Secure your faith through your trials. The order of salvation. Seek God. Ask his forgiveness. He is gracious and hears. Then he cleanses us and empowers us for good works. Works follow our salvation. We don't work for salvation, all right? But they come after, all right? Is that they follow up. In Ephesians, Paul would tell us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Do you have the gift today of salvation? The gift given by Jesus to each and every one of us. Not something you've done. You didn't get up today and go and read your Bible for an hour and, you know, no, those works follow the gift of salvation. Because the Holy Spirit that is in you wants to pick up the word and read the word. The Holy Spirit that's in you wants to edify Jesus, to speak of him. All right? You can't help but want to do it. Okay? It happens. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then good works start to follow out of that. And if you read the word for today, I'm going to encourage you, if you don't have one of these, I've got about 9 up here today, 10. I'm going to encourage you to come and grab one. Is that, or if you'd like me to hand them out, Streety, you might come. If you don't have one of these, Streety, can you come and just pass these out? Because I want to read something out of these. Thanks, mate. If you want one of these and you don't have one, put your hand up. Streety will bring it around. He's a good host. Then when you do get it, open it to March the 7th. Because we often hear messages telling us what we've got to do, how we're going to do this 10-point process to achieve this, da-da-da-da-da, all right? So if you have one of these in your hands now, just open it up to March 7. Because the Holy Spirit is revealed to us. It's not something we work at and we get it because we got everything in place, but now the Holy Spirit comes to us, reveals himself, he reveals Jesus, he reveals the Father, and we go to a different place. So I'll just read this. 1 Corinthians 10:11 from the NLT. These things happen to them as examples for us. Egypt represents our days in bondage to sin. Then Jesus liberated us and gave us a new life. Our promised land isn't a physical territory, it's a spiritual reality. Did you get that? Our promised land isn't a physical territory, it's a spiritual reality. It's not real estate, but a real state of heart and mind. Today, is your heart seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Is it desiring, or is it still being caught up in the things of this world? What I'll eat, what I'll clothe myself in, how, you know, I'll pay for the fuel, what's my house look like? How's the back lawn today? God's asking us to go to a different place in seeking him. He says, don't worry about those things of earth. I've got that for you. I promise you that seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, these things will be added to you. But I've got a better promise for you. I've got a better promise. The things in a heavenly realm. It's a life in which we are made more than conquerors through him who loved us. A life in which we do not lose heart. A life in which we are exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. We are anxious for nothing. We are praying always. And a life in which we do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Max Lucado wrote, in Canaan we win more often than we lose. Forgive as quickly as we are offended and give as abundantly as we receive. We serve out of our giftedness and delight in our assignments. We may stumble, but we do not collapse. We may struggle, but we defy despair. We boast only in Christ, trust only in God, lean wholly on his power. We enjoy abundant fruit and increasing faith. Canaan symbolizes the victory we can have today, and God invites us to enter it. There is only one condition. We must turn our backs on wilderness living. Paul wrote, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who are you today? You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, chosen by God. What a privilege that the King of Kings has chosen you today for this time. How good is that? Fear not, for I have overcome the world. Jesus says, you'll hear rumours of wars, all these things. Fear not, I've got it. I'll look after it for you. Will you turn to me? Turn away from the wilderness. Don't worry about what's going on out there. Come into this holy place that I have for you today. That's for each one of us in this place. Let's go on to here. Jesus is speaking to his disciples in Luke, in the book of Luke 10:20. The 70 have been sent out and they come back and they're rejoicing that the Spirit realm. You know, they've had authority. They've been able to speak, you know, to demons, and things have gone on. Do you know, I would delight. I go, Lord, please give me the ability, you know, to pray for people and see them healed and to see all of these things. Do you know what? I think sometimes he goes, Steve, you can't handle it. If I did that, you'd be full of yourself. You'd be running around going, pew, 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 like that. And instead of me getting the glory, you'd be getting it. He said, but I'll get you to that place one day where you will be at 100% settled in me. But then I read this and I thought, how beautiful is this? He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. How beautiful is that? Do you know, if we don't get it all right here, if we don't step into it, Jesus has given us the gift of eternal life in heaven. Now, when my beautiful daughter's going through stuff, I'd love to be able to go and fix it. I can pray for her. I do all that I know to do. I do all the things that Scripture tells me. All right? But it's bigger than me. I have to trust in the God of all creation. For my son-in-law, all right, is that I don't have the surgeon's skills. I don't have their abilities. But even if it doesn't come to pass that he's healed, all right, I trust in God. In 1 John 5 and 14, John says this. He says, I have this confidence that if I ask these things according to your will, that they will be done. And his will is that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. And we read about all the heroes of the faith, that we're redeemed. Our salvation comes through faith in Christ. We read how many of them never saw the final things come to pass. We might never see the answer to our prayers. We might see them. But I have this confidence because the Word of God tells me. It says, John says to this, I have this confidence. Let's turn into 1 John 5 and 14. Because I'm paraphrasing it just a little bit there. But a little further up, it says, the certainty of God's witness. This is out of the New King James. But then a little further down in 5 and verse 14, confidence and compassion in prayer. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Doesn't it give you confidence that if you're praying for your family, for your loved ones, for those close to you, that it is his will that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life? Here, he's saying that if I hear you, am I not God, and that I will bring that to pass for you. That's the confidence I have today in a God that is the God of all creation. He's the God that never leaves us nor forsakes us. We've heard it today. We heard it in the Word where Valerie came up and spoke about this God who is so good. I heard from Sue about the distractions of this world taking us from spending time with God. Chris just letting me know about the fact that the new wave of the Spirit going through the church is about us spending and seeking God, getting closer to him. Now, I just want to tell you something today, is that prior to going away, I would regularly get out of bed at 6 o'clock of the morning, so I would have 1 hour before God. I'd have the word. There's all things come to you in that period of time. Now, I don't say that to boast, okay? But I do say this, that adds up to 7 hours in 1 week. That's not very much. I would encourage you that today, whatever you're doing, okay, is start to seek to find time from the distractions of this world to seek and be in the presence of God, to know His comfort, to know His peace, all right, is that irrespective of what's going on, all right, is that time with God cannot be replaced, all right? You know, the Winter Olympics will wait. You'll get a replay. It'll come, all right? Is that Sky News will still be there at 8 o'clock after you've spent an hour with God. But then Jesus will say to you, but fear not, for I've overcome the world, okay? He'll give you a different perspective on the news that you're watching. He'll give you a different perspective on what's going on all around you today, because His promises are yes and amen, okay? Irrespective of whether today we're seeing it happening in front of us, because, you know, Jesus kept saying, oh, you foolish generation, you're seeking signs all the time. Where is your faith? Where's your faith in me? Right? Jesus would say this to His disciples regularly. Where is your faith? You know, even when He's walked and stilled a great storm, you know, the word great in that is not just the great as we use it. It means mega. It was a storm of ferocity. It was not just a bit of wind blowing across and there was a few waves, all right? It wasn't great in the sense that it's, yeah, great today. It was a mega storm. It was a ferocious storm. It was life-threatening. But Jesus wanders out and goes, well, what's your problem? And for us, if your life might even be threatened, turn to Jesus. He's there right in the boat. But you know, at that point, Jesus was in the boat once He got there and was with Him. The storm's still raging, okay? Sometimes the storm might be raging around us. Jesus has not left us. He's still with us. He's close all the time, okay? Maybe we've been a little distracted. We stopped looking, but He's still there, okay? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Where is your faith at today? Do you know His peace today? Do you have His comfort today? All right, now I'm going to try and tidy all this up. I'm going to put some of these little books and things away. If you've received one of those today, I encourage you, take it. There's so much good information in there. If that's the only time you get with God each day, start to expand on it. Use it. Allow it to wash over you, all right? So that then when the Holy Spirit quickens the word to you, you know, and you're going through a little bit, and the Holy Spirit quickens and said, Steve, I'm with you always. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. You are with me always. Oh, so much more in these notes. Oh, so much more. So much more in the book. So much more in the Bible. 1 Peter. Oh, there's so much more in 1 Peter. Go and read 1 Peter. There's so much more in all the rest of it, is that there's just not enough time. I don't want to bore you to death, especially if you're visiting here today. We're going to get together and go and enjoy some fellowship and some time together. But I am going to open up the altar today. We're going to have a few songs in a sec, but I'm going to encourage you today, if you're going through a little bit of stuff and you just want the comfort that Jesus promises us, I'm going to encourage you to come. Because the kingdom of God is, as I say, it's not here in this temporal bit of time. The kingdom of God is so much greater. Jesus he's promised to us, well, Jesus doesn't say it, but King David does, where he says, you set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So what are they doing? They're sitting down, fellowshipping, supping together, having a cup of coffee, saying, how good are you, Lord? You know, this is pretty cool, you know. Thanks for your provision in my life. Thanks for all that you brought to me. Oh, thanks that I've got another breath for today. Oh, but if not, I get to join you in heaven. Oh, so much, so good. Whatever it might be, Find things to give thanks for today. Find things to give praise to. The word rejoice means to rejoy, all right? To be refilled with joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, all right? Be filled with joy, the strength of the Lord. Rejoice always. The scriptures tell us that. Rejoice always. Be filled with fresh joy, the strength of the Lord. Okay? There is nothing that you will go through. All right? Even I heard someone speak, death, where is thy sting? If we shuffle off this mortal coil, as that other fellow, that Shakespeare fellow said, if we shuffle off this mortal coil, okay, the gift is heavenly, eternal life. How much greater is that? Okay? So irrespective today, I encourage you, if you need just a touch from God, allow the worship to wash over you. Then we'll have the prayer time. Rosie and Strudy and Kim will be making teas and coffees, whatever it might be that you need. So thanks for listening. I was going to say, look, don't worry about what Steve's got to say.